Hello. You're listening to Speaking of Urology, the official podcast for Urology Times. In keeping with our commitment to deliver urologists and allied health professionals expert clinical analysis, practice advice, and policy perspectives, each episode of Speaking of Urology will bring listeners timely and informative insights from leaders in the specialty to keep practitioners up to date while helping them practice more efficiently. I'm your host, Ben Saylor. In this episode, I spoke with Dr. Catherine Rotker, who discusses some of the stigmas surrounding sexual health and how clinicians can address them with their patients. Rotker is an assistant professor of urology at Yale School of Medicine in New Haven, Connecticut.
To start with, could you talk a little bit about some of the stigmas that are seen and some of the conditions that you treat, that you might hear from patients that come to your practice?
Yeah, so I think there is a lot of fear that can go into talking about all these topics, namely things like erectile dysfunction or difficulty getting and keeping an erection, or Peyronie's disease, penile curvature. These are innately culturally private discussions, things that people have trouble even talking with their sexual partners about, never mind a stranger outside of their life. And so I think by nature, difficult discussions and topics. In terms of stigmas, they abound in these areas in terms of sexual preferences, sexual partner preferences, gender differences. And then within the community, sort of talking about sex as a topic that should be enjoyed and that is a part of a normal, healthy life is stigmatized. So a lot of depth into reasons why these can be difficult discussions.
Now, what do you do to try and break down those barriers and get patients to open up?
So one thing that I think helps patients to be at ease is to be at ease with these topics yourself. Recognizing differences, having discussed with many patients in many different scenarios, all different difficulties and perceptions, makes it less uncomfortable to talk about these topics. And I think if you're at ease, you put somebody else at ease. So having sort of a knowledge base and then a personality type that is comfortable with these discussions and with these topics immediately puts somebody on ease. I think it takes some time for patients to feel comfortable and to open up, and that takes good listening skills. And then again, having that positive approach where there are options available, where you are not alone in these concerns and issues, and being able to reiterate that these are common problems, because they often really are, is novel for a lot of patients. You can forget that when you're doing it all day, every day. But I think reassuring patients that they're not alone in these is hugely valuable.
What would help in terms of help preparing your patients coming in to see you for the first time?
So I think one interesting phenomenon is that I saw a huge spike in the number of patients coming to see me for Peyronie's disease or penile curvature after XIAFLEX started direct-to-consumer advertising. And however you feel about direct-to-consumer advertising, again, it's one of those topics that I think a lot of men don't feel comfortable bringing up with their doctor or with their primary care or even with their spouse or partner. And so having the commercial out there did what you and I were just talking about in terms of validated that this is not a unique problem to you, that there's got to be other guys out there suffering from this or they wouldn't have a product being marketed, correct? And so the fact that just that degree of intervention, knowing that this problem actually existed, was enough to push men to come and seek care. And so I think you're absolutely right in that education around these topics to the public, the fact that they exist, that there's treatment for them, and that they're not unique, is helpful in whatever form it comes in. I also think destigmatizing the idea that sexual health is not a valid health concern. And so I think even insurance companies to some degree, you know, devalue or stigmatize sexual health, and that it's not covered like a lot of other health issues, right? We see this with mental health and other kind of concerns, but validating even within our own medical community, the fact that this is a huge part of both personal health and interpersonal relationships, and that taking care of this health issue can address much greater health needs for the patient. I describe erectile dysfunction as a canary in the coal mine. In other words, an early warning sign of sort of your overall health. It can be the first or initial symptom of vascular disease going on around the body. And sometimes it is the reason that brings a man to the healthcare system. He hasn't been seeing a primary care. He has no signs or symptoms related to high blood pressure. And all of a sudden starts noticing these problems with solutions. And this can really change his overall health. And we can be that introduction to taking care of you as a person, not just your erection. So again, for the reason that I think sexual health can be hugely important for our overall health.
Is there anything else that you'd like to add regarding any of these topics?
I think there's a huge push in destigmatizing female sexual health as well. And we're seeing that a lot within our community. So I think that first initial strides were really made in male sexual health. A lot of our initial treatments, both surgical and medical, really focused on ability to get and keep an erection. But we know erections are not all of sexual health for men or women. There's a lot of different types of sexual health that need addressing. And I think there's been a slow revolution in the female aspect of things. And knowing that females having a healthy sex life is also an important thing for overall health and couple health.
Be sure to subscribe to Speaking of Urology on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps. And you can get the latest in urology news, practice management advice, and health policy updates by visiting www.urologytimes.com. Thank you for listening.